Jesus. And we know who you are, Lord Jesus. Lord, and we are here to worship you and praise you, Lord Jesus, and to glorify you in your perfect word, Lord Jesus. Lord, let me be anointed, Lord Jesus, with your word. Lord, let it reach out and touch somebody today, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let's just give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I brought my watch today. That way I don't run over and get in trouble. So y'all may be seated in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. I'm not here to feed you milk today. I'm not a milk person, basically. I'm a meat person. So, you know, usually when you hear from me, I try to give you some meat and not just milk. I figure everybody here's had enough milk. But I want to talk to you today, and this has been something that's on my mind, and I think it follows the theme of the pastor's theme of the purpose of the church. In biblical lands in ancient times, the role of a watchman was crucial. Invasion, siege, destruction, and enslavement were all too common as empires battled for power and plunder. Watchmen were stationed atop towers or the city wall, and if danger approached, they were to sound the alarm to alert their fellow citizens to the threat. The watchman blew the shofar, it's called a trumpet in the Bible, made from a ram's horn as a warning to sound the alarm. That was the purpose of the shofar, to sound the alarm. That was its main purpose. When I was in the Army, one of the most important jobs that we were given, no matter what your rank was to be on guard duty. Some of us walked the post. Other of us were in bunkers, and we watched the perimeter for any enemy movement. If we saw enemy movement or what we thought was enemy movement, we called it in so people would have a warning, and we were the first line of defense. The watchman is the first line of defense. Hallelujah. And Isaiah 21:6 says, "For thus have the Lord said unto me, Go set a watchman, let him declare what he sees." We need to be able to see the enemy before we can tell him anybody about the enemy. You know, when the Lord's opened our eyes and we see, then we need to tell others what we see. That's very crucial. That's why the Lord opens our eyes so that we can see. We must see the danger before we can warn others of it. And we have to make sure that we know what we see is the truth. Because, you know, we all know about the boy who cried wolf too many times. After a while, nobody listened. But if we know that there is a wolf, hallelujah, then we're going to be able to tell people and they are going to listen. How do we find out the truth? If we need to know the Word of God, that's how we know the truth. There's no other way that we can know the truth is except through the Word of God. We need to seek to know all that the Bible speaks of in the way of salvation. That's what we need to know. What is salvation? Ezekiel 33:7 says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." We have to make sure that we hear it from his mouth, not from somebody else's mouth. Yes, we need preaching. That's so important. But we need to make sure that everything that we hear, we can open up this book and verify it. And we know that everything in this book comes from the mouth of God, not just because somebody sat down there with a pencil and decided to write something. You know, religions have doctrines and beliefs, but what we need to hear is the word of Jesus, and we need to let people know, even though we have our doctrine, we still need to let people know this is not just our doctrine, this is the word of Jesus Christ. If you don't know what his word is, what he's saying, then it's time to open up that Bible and start reading it. And you pray the Holy Ghost for revelation as you read it, and that Bible will come alive for you and speak to you. That's what makes the difference. You pray for revelation. It's not just a book. It's the Word of God. It's God speaking to each and every one of us. Psalm 127 and 1 says, a song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. We cannot be watchmen unless we have communion with the Lord. And how do we have communion with the Lord? We speak to him in prayer. That's how we have communion. That's how we get to know the Lord. That's how we communicate with him, is through prayer. Hallelujah. We cannot go out and be the watchman and let people know that they're in danger unless we know beyond any doubt that there is an enemy and that their soul is in danger. The Lord gives us the message, and then only then can we give it to others. The Lord gives us the message, not anybody else, but the Lord. It's his message. A well-known preacher said, communion with Jesus is training for service. If we have communion with the Lord, he's training us to carry out his will upon earth. How does the Lord's Prayer go? Thy will be done upon earth that is in heaven. Hallelujah. We carry out that will for him. Hallelujah. If people do not recognize you as a watchman, they're probably not going to pay any attention to you. Anything you have to say, they need to know that your message comes from the Lord and must be heeded. You need to be able to open up that Bible and show it to them, point it out to them, so they can see it. That is not just something that you're saying, but it's something that's coming from God Almighty himself. Isaiah 30 and 10 says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Everybody wants to hear the watchman say, everything's okay. It's 10 o'clock. Everything is fine. It's 1 o'clock. Everything is fine. Yes, you know, we all want to tell people about the wonderful love of Jesus and how he died on the cross for our sins. And you know what? That's very important. That's one of the most important things that we need to do. But we also need to tell them the hard truth. whether they want to hear it or not, whether you want to tell it or not, whether one they need to know that there is an enemy known as unrepentant sin at the ramparts waiting to destroy them. That there is a heaven, there is a hell, and there is a lake of fire. That there is eternal damnation. We need to tell them that. They need to understand that. They need, I'll tell you what, people say, well, you scare people. Sometimes we need to be scared. When we sit around and we say, oh, Jesus loves me, and there's a lot of churches that preach that, oh, you can do whatever you want to do because of grace. Grace, grace stretches, oh, so far. Well, you know what? Yeah, Jesus loves us because of grace, but guess what? We can't just sit there with unrepentant sin and say, oh, nothing's going to happen to me. Jesus loves me. Yes, he does. But guess what? You're going to have to stand. We're all going to stand in front of that white throne of judgment someday. And then it all, that's where the rubber meets the road. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how much Jesus loves us. Hallelujah. And I tell people, I'm thoroughly convinced that as Jesus is pushing us over onto the side with the goats, hallelujah, he probably has tears in his eyes. You know, I remember one time my wife and I were witnessing. Actually, the church had a booth at the fair, and we were talking to a gentleman, and, you know, it came up that, you know, you've got to repent and all this. And he left, and his parting words were said, I don't want to hear about that stuff. I only want to hear about the love that Jesus has for me. I don't want to hear bad things either. All I want to hear is that Jesus loves me. But I know better. I read his word. I understand, yes, that there is danger. There is something to be afraid of. There's something to worry about. And it's not just for me. It's for everybody that walks on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. They're all in danger. You know, I don't want, we need to give a warning or we'll be the ones that have their blood on our souls. I've already got too much blood on my soul because I have passed too many people by and never warned them, never said a word to them. I just passed them by. How much blood can we have on us? Isaiah 62:6 says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. The Lord has appointed the church to be the watchman. And we will never hold our peace or be quiet, but we will always be proclaiming the message. Look out, look out, watch out, there's enemies after you. Oh, watch out now, you've got to repent. You can't keep sinning. You've got to change your life. We will always need to keep proclaiming that to people. Hallelujah. You know, we can't stop until the Lord has returned and the final battle is fought. Hallelujah. We've got to keep at it. Keep at it. Every moment of every day, every minute of our waking life, we have to make sure that we have that on our mind, that we're warning people, that we're letting people know. That's our job. That's our purpose, to be the watchman, to watch out for people, to make sure that they're going to be okay. You know, Ezekiel 33:3 says, "If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people." 33:4, "Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." Hallelujah. We're not the ones that determined that there was danger. God determined that. That was God's determination that there is danger. We need to tell the people, if they don't heed it, there's nothing that we can do. We can pray for them. We can do everything. But if they still don't listen, it's not going to help them. They have to listen. How many times have people been warned of something and they just ignore it? They just walk by like it doesn't mean anything. You warn people, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't smoke cigarettes. You get lung cancer. You drink too much. You die from drinking. You jump off of a cliff. You're going to get killed. You know what? You drive crazy and you're going to have an accident. But does it warn? People keep on doing it. It doesn't stop them. You know, all we can do is just give the warning. That's what we're required to do. Give a warning. That's all we can do. We can't take people and beat them over the head. Although sometimes I wish I could just take a baseball bat and smack them a good one and drag them up to the altar. But you know what? That don't work. That doesn't work. Ezekiel 2:5-2:7 says, "And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, not listen, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious." Most people don't want to hear what we have to say. Most of them don't want to hear it. They stick their fingers in their ears spiritually and go, la, 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 la. Because they don't want to hear about the truth. They're happy they where they are. That's the way they are. Oh, everything's fine. I'm doing great. I don't want to hear all of that stuff. I don't want to hear it. They'll question your mental capacity. They'll threaten you. They laugh at you, curse you, run you off. They'll do everything but listen to you. You know, sometimes it's your friends and your families are the first ones to reject you. They say, "What are you talking about? You've been listening to too much of them religious people. They're all crazy." You know, I remember one time when I was working and my wife was working with me, and the owner of the store, and she would always witness to him. And he got so mad, he said, "I don't want your wife ever in the store again, and I don't want to ever hear you mention God again, or I'm going to fire you." And I basically told him, "Well, go ahead and fire me." And he never did anyway. But anyway, you know what? Because he didn't want to hear it. He did not want to hear it. He did not want to hear about sin. He did not want to hear about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because you know why? He had a conviction. He had a conviction about it. His heart was convicted. In fact, he was Jewish, and he finally ended up going to the synagogue and joining the synagogue. Hallelujah. So all of her witnessing did do something. And all of the talking about God did make a difference. You know, Ezekiel 3 and 8 says, "Behold, I have made thy face strong against thy faces, and thy against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, although they be a rebellious house." Ezekiel 3 and 10 says, "Moreover he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears." 3:11, "And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of the people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God," whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Hallelujah. Don't worry about what they have to say. Don't worry about what the people, how they look at you, what they say about you. Don't let that trouble you. You know, the Lord says, "I am the one that put these words into your mouth. I have commanded you, and I'll make you strong against all the persecution that they may bring against you." Do not let the fear of failure stop you. Don't let failure stop you. Don't let the fact that people aren't listening to you, that people say these things to you, don't let it stop you doing it. That's not a reason to stop. But you know what? Failure will close your mouth so tight that you can't speak a word. You'll get so frustrated. You'll feel like, "Oh, it's just a waste of my time. I tell everybody and they don't listen. You know what? I'm not even going to say any time. I'm not going to say anything else." I don't know how many people that you have invited to church and they never came. I have invited a lot of people and they never come to church. It's a rarity when they do. I consider that an incredible blessing. How many times? How many times have you cried over someone's lost soul and they just didn't do a bit of good? How many times have people heard that invitation to come up to the altar and they're glued in their seat like they got super glue on them? How many times have they just got up and walked away? How many times have people just got up and walked away, walked out of the church because they don't want to hear what the pastor has to say? They walk away from you because they don't want to hear what you have to say. How many times will we stop? Are we going to stop? People, are you going to stop? Are you going to stop? Raise your hand if you're not going to stop. If you're going to keep on witnessing. If you're going to keep on doing it. If you're going to stop, well, guess what? It's on your soul. The blood is on your soul. I don't want no more blood. We never stop. Ezekiel 33 and 6. "But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet," aha, "and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." Ezekiel 33 and 8. when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his ways. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from it his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. It doesn't matter whether they listen to you or not. What is important is that you gave people the warning. Whatever happens to them, well, that's their problem. That's their problem. They didn't listen. You know what? If they go to hell, if they're thrown in the pit of fire, that's their problem, not yours. You told them. You told them what was going to happen, but they just like ignored it. John 1:11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. God robed himself into flesh and came into the world to try to warn us of the danger. People didn't listen to Jesus Christ either. They reviled him, they cursed him, they threatened him, they beat him, and finally hung him from a cross. He was considered to be a liar and unstable even by his friends, as we can see in Mark 3:21, which says, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. He's out of control. He doesn't know what he's saying. He needs some help. Hallelujah. Let's get him some psychiatric help. Let's get him some counseling. Hallelujah. You know what? If they don't listen to Jesus Christ, they'll probably not listen to you either. But that doesn't matter. You gave them the warning. You know, Ezekiel 18 and 23 says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Ezekiel 33 and 11 says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord has no desire even to see the wicked person perish. That is not his desire. That's the last thing in the world he wants to happen. He loves us. He loves us. And he wants only that we're saved from destruction. That's why he has appointed the church as the watchman. You know, it grieves him even if those that don't listen are destroyed. He is our heavenly Father, and he loves us. If you're a father, if you're a parent, you know that you tell your children something. Don't do this. Don't do this. You're going to come to harm. Don't do this. You're going to come to this. And you know what? If they do it and they come to harm, you don't hate them. You're just sad because it happened. You're not angry at them. You're just sad because they didn't listen. And now they're suffering the consequences. And that's the way the Lord is with us. Isaiah 21 and 7, and he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. Isaiah 21, 8 says, he cried, a lion! My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward the whole night. Hallelujah. You know, your vigilance could make the difference in winning a losing battle, winning a battle, whether you win or lose. Whether a life is saved or a life is lost, you might be the only watchman giving the warning. Maybe nobody else has done it. You know what? Don't use that excuse. We can't always say, oh, well, somebody else did it. Somebody, they don't need me to do it. It's already been done. How do you know that? How do you know if they've been warned about anything? You don't know. You don't know if they saw the lion or not. You don't know. Or maybe all they saw were the camels. And camels aren't a problem, but a lion is a problem. I don't think that there's anybody that wants our fellow men to go to hell, even though some of us have been known to say it at times. We need to let everybody know what is going on. We can't just sit there and let it pass us by. We cannot let it sit there and pass us by. You know, I personally made a resolution myself that I am going to be a better watchman than I have been. Because I have fallen down as a watchman. Like I said, there have been so many people I let slip by that I didn't say anything to, that I should have been saying something to. We must give that warning. We got to give it with passion. We got to let them know, yeah, this is, I'm telling you because I care about you. This is something that you need to know. It's not just something that I'm telling you because somebody told me to tell you that. We're not here to condemn people, but we're here to warn them. And we need to do it so they know that it's coming from our heart. That we care, that we really care about them. It doesn't matter who they are. We still have to give them a warning. From the, even if they're nobody or somebody, if they're a bum on the street, if they're a criminal, hallelujah, they still need to know the warning. If they're a multi-millionaire living on Palm Beach, they still need to be given a warning from our heart. We need to let them know that they have to defend themselves and how to do it. That there's an enemy that stands at the gate that's waiting to attack them. Hallelujah. We need to tell them what they need to do. We need to let them know that they need to repent. And you open up your Bible and you show them Luke 13 and 3. And it says, I tell you, nay, but ye, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Hallelujah. They need to believe and be baptized. So you open your Bible and you show them Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And they need to be born again. And you look in John 3 and 5, and Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. And they need to have the Holy Ghost. Romans 8 and 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Hallelujah. You know what? If somebody shows me all of those things, I'm probably going to change my mind, and I might even start listening to what somebody's telling me. You know, there's men who have been given a special anointing to be watchmen. Your pastor, the preachers, the evangelists that come. And you know what? We might not ever deliver a sensational sermon, but that's not nothing that we should regret. We're not all preachers. We're not all pastors. We're not all evangelists. But you can give people the warning from God. You can warn your children, your family, your friends, people that you come into contact with, the people in the grocery store, people in the dog park, the parking lot attendant, the waiter or waitress, the guy that cuts the lawn, whoever you run into, you can still give them a warning. You can still, if nothing else, if all you have is a tract to stick in their hand because you don't have time or they don't want to hear it, stick that tract into their hand. Make sure you carry a few tracts around. You know, that's how you do it, so people know that there is a danger. We can't just sit back. We can't just take it easy. We do it too much already. Every church in the world does it. Every church, we're all sitting back and we're taking it easy. And we're saying, well, I got mine. You get yours, but I got mine. I ain't worried about nobody else. You know what? That's our job, to worry about everybody else. That's what we're supposed to do. Worry about everybody else. And not just sit there and worry all the time about ourselves. God will take care of us. God takes care of us. Hallelujah. And if we follow Him, we're going to be okay. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise because He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. You know, I just encourage everybody, try to be a better watchman. Try. And if you aren't at all, approach somebody. The worst they can do is punch you upside the head. You know, and that goes away pretty quick. But you know what? Most of them won't. Most of them will just either say, I don't want to hear it, get away from me. Then you know what? It doesn't matter. You warned them. You tried your best. And that's all that God wants from you. That's all He's asking for. He's not asking that you convert hundreds of people. He'd love it if you did, but He's just asking, hey, let them know. Tell them, because they might not know. They might have grown up in a family without any exposure to the Lord at all. And now you know what? There's millions of people today that have grown up like that, with no exposure to the Lord. They don't know what's going on. Let's just stand up for a moment and just say a real quick prayer. Lord, we come to You in Your precious and holy name, Lord. Lord, we need to be better watchmen, Lord. Give us that courage, Lord Jesus. Give us that strength, Lord Jesus. Put those words in our mouth, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us do the watchman's job, Lord. Let us give the people warning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love the people, Lord. Let them know how much You love them and how much You care about them and how much You want to make sure that they're okay. Lord, just help us all to be better watchmen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. Amen.